It's Mr. Interesting's Guide to the Continental United States.
Ugalak. Ugalak. Come to the control center.
For what do you interrupt my experiments? Has our presence been detected by Earth military intelligence?
No, no. We just wanted you to look at the moonrise.
See? You can see the gleaming light of our home star as the Earth moon comes up.
Ooh, pretty.
Earth moonrise? Do I have to remind you that we have important work to do here today? We must plant the splicing genes in the kidnapped human before we erase his memories and return him to Earth.
Yeah, and don't forget the rectal probe.
What was that?
Nothing.
Do you have a problem with the rectal probe?
I guess not.
It is crucial that we know as much as possible about the Earthling's physiognomy before we return to our home planet.
I guess so.
I want to go home. I'm sick of these useless rectal probes.
Useless rectal probes? Useless? Oh, you're suddenly the big rectal probe expert.
No.
But we've been doing rectal probes for over 40 Earth years. Surely our work is done.
Surely it is not. Every rectum is different. Every rectum has its story to tell us. We are only just beginning. There is so much for rectums to teach us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Been there, heard that.
What? You don't think I've been probing rectums because I like it, do you? Oh, come on. Crazy, I am a scientist. Look at me. You don't honestly think I'm probing rectums for the fun of it, do you? I don't believe you guys. You guys are sick, you know that? Sick. Oh, I would not want to be inside your minds, I tell you. It must be a very dark and dingy place in there. Okay, I admit it. I love rectum. I love everything about rectum. Even the name. Rectum. Rectum. I don't know why it is. Maybe the fact that we're an advanced species with no need to produce waste. Maybe it's... I don't know. Maybe, oh, dear God, I'm a sick, sick alien.
There.
No, it's not natural. What should I care about rectums? Why am I so obsessed with rectums? Young rectums, old rectums, little rectums, big rectums. Ah, the big rectum.
Oh, yuck.
You think I don't know that? You think I can't hear myself? I need help. I need help.
There is help for you. Back on our home planet.
You are right. I must go back. But first I must finish with this latest rectum. experiment. I must thoroughly probe the chunky old guy we found in the desert. It is the biggest rectum I have ever seen.
No, Ugalak, you must go home now.
But I've barely begun to probe.
Oh, good luck.
Oh, all right. You guys are no fun, you know that. We'll drop him off at the next city and then head home.
My goodness. What a strange feeling. I feel as if I've had some unfinished business done to me. It's too bad, really. I could have gone for a good rectal probe about now. Well, where am I? This isn't the desert. It's, good golly, it's Hollywood, the heart of the American dream. Ladies and gentlemen, come with me, won't you?
Guy, it's Alberta. Let me in, Guy. Guy, I'm at the office. I get a call from the director. He tells me you won't come out of your trailer. I have to come down here and knock on your trailer door? How does this make me look? How does this make me feel?
Go away. I don't want you to see me like this.
Guy, I'm your agent. I've seen you at your worst. I saw you in that Jean-Claude Van Damme vehicle. Let me in.
No.
Look at me. I'm standing out here looking like Cher's agent. For God's sake, Guy, I'm not Cher's agent. I will not be made into Cher's agent. What's wrong?
Look at me. That's what's wrong.
I'm looking. What am I seeing?
The fattest man on the face of the earth.
Guy, you're playing sulfur man. Even if you are chunky, nobody's judging your body when you're under 8 inches of latex.
So you admit I'm chunky. Pass me the support hose.
Oh, we've been through this before. Whenever you do the I'm too fat thing, it's always about something else.
Damn it. It wasn't supposed to be like this. I was supposed to be an actor. Like Ralph Fiennes or Ralph Fiennes, or, you know, the snooty British guy.
Guy, do you think that 49% of single-parent urban kids between 6 and 11 have a picture of the English patient in their bedrooms? No. They have a picture of you.
No, they don't. They have a picture of Sulphur Man. Nobody knows what I look like. Every day when I come to work, I leave a note on my car so security doesn't tow it.
You want me to talk to somebody about that? I'll talk to somebody about that.
You know, when I started acting, I thought, I'll just play Cornea Man to pay for my sound system. Then it was Gelatinous Man, which we all know was just a cheap ripoff of Cornea Man anyway. Then Sludge Boy. Now I'm 36 years old. I'm typecast.
Look, I'll take care of the parking thing first. One thing at a time.
I never should have taken this role. I don't get this character. I can't get into his headspace.
What's to get into? He's yellow. He breaks down walls, emits disgusting gases. Then the paycheck arrives.
You really have no idea what it takes to act, do you, Alberta? To go through this perpetual identity crisis for the sake of the craft.
Let me help you with your identity crisis. The guy with $8,000 in skincare charges on his Neiman Marcus card, that's you. The guy with a year-old unpaid rhinoplasty bill, that's you. The guy urinating acid, that's Sulphur Man.
You don't get what I go through, how deep I have to dig. As a child, I was taken from my bed at night, torn from my parents, forced to run from the law.
Guy, I'm sorry. I had no idea that happened to you.
It didn't. That stuff's in the script. I can't relate.
Well, surely you've suffered some pain in your life.
Nothing like this.
Acne?
No.
Bad grades?
Come on, face it. Worst thing ever happened to me? I wasn't allowed to wear jeans until I was 18.
Hey, that's a certain kind of suffering. Tell me more.
Oh, there's nothing to tell. Except this one time. Barry Salinger. At a party at his farm outside town, there were horses and hay and stuff. And I had to wear a pale blue leisure suit with snaps.
Ooh, not good.
And Stella Shields was there, and I'd been so sure she'd go to first base with me, but then I overheard her say to Richie Barrett, "Hey, everyone, it's Quincy." Everyone laughed.
Quincy is a good one. My dad used to rep Jack Klugman.
I freaked out. Kicked over a guitar, told him I didn't need anyone or anybody, and I just walked out of there.
You walked home from some guy's farm?
No, my mom was waiting in the car for me until the party was over.
Oh.
Still makes me furious. I told myself that one day I would be rich and famous, and Stella Shields and her stupid friends would all be sorry.
And you're living that life, aren't you? They can't treat you like that meek guy in the leisure suit now, can they?
No.
What? I can't hear you.
No.
Because who are you?
Sulphur Man.
And who are they?
No one.
Okay, then. Now you hold on to that anger and you go out there and you be the best damn Sulphur Man you can be.
I will.
Go get him.
Okay.
How are you? What are you working for? How did you go?
Oh, for Christ's sake, guy, you're never going to get those pantyhose on.
Mr. Interesting here in front of a real live bona fide Hollywood studio. From my vantage point at the gate, I can see many productions underway. Oh, look, there's Sulphur Man. Yoo-hoo, Sulphur Man. I think he saw me. Wait till I tell everyone back home. I hate Sulphur Man.
Hey, mister, is that somebody?
Why, yes, little girl. Sulphur Man was just walking from his trailer. Or it might have been Cameron Manheim. I can never get them straight.
I can't see.
Well, allow me, little girl, to hold you aloft.
Oh, thanks.
Alley-oop.
Oh, this is so exciting. I can see them shooting. I can see the camera. And hey, Mr. Director, you left the lens cap on.
What? Cut, cut. Who said that? You can't just shout out during... Why, I did leave the lens cap on. You, what do you do?
I get coffee.
Good enough, you're fired. Leaving the lens cap on is an idiotic mistake and unforgivable. Where's that kid?
Here I am.
You, big guy, bring her in here.
Oh, me? Certainly.
Security, let those people through. That's right. Little girl, you just saved this company a lot of money.
I did? Gee, I just try to notice things.
Good going, kid. Notice anything else?
Well, I don't know. I guess. Who's that actor over there?
That's Richard Farnsworth. He's something of a Hollywood treasure.
He looks dead.
No, he's just very understated. Why, by golly, he is dead.
You can tell by the smell. He smells like Richard Farnsworth.
Another gasp. Who's going to lose their job over this one? You, what do you do?
Executive producer, and guess what? You're fired.
Hi, little girl. I'm with the studio.
I thought you were important. Big shoulders.
I need your help in Studio 24. Follow me.
This is fun.
Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I see your problem. I know what this scene needs. More cleavage.
What?
One man's opinion.
The problem is that they're both Juliet. You need a Romeo.
Of course!
Hey, get that Romeo guy out here!
I once saw an all-girl production of Romeo and Juliet, but I think it was made in Scandinavia.
Now, which of these three scripts do you think we should produce?
It's hard to say without reading them, but I'd go with the middle one. It's the only one with pages. The others are just empty covers.
I don't know how you do it, but it's magic. Our stock has just gone through the roof with you at the helm. Would you like your office redone?
I have an office?
All studio execs have offices. I'll take you there. Hop on the golf cart.
Oh, there doesn't seem to be room on that cart for me.
You know this guy?
Not really.
What kind of excellent job are you going to offer me?
Security!
Oh, yes, I could work in security.
Step away from the girl. Please step away from the girl.
Get this man off the set, and if he doesn't cooperate, shoot him.
Oh, I'm going, I'm going.
Why'd you do that?
You said if he cooperates, shoot him.
Oh, I said if he doesn't cooperate, shoot him.
You distinctly said if he cooperates, shoot him.
No, no, no. You weren't listening. I said if he doesn't cooperate, shoot him.
If he cooperates, shoot him. So he did.
If he doesn't cooperate, shoot him.
Look at that. They're arguing over my body. I'm drifting away. I'm going up. Up to the heavens. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. It looks like I'm going to have the opportunity to meet the ultimate American. God! Wish me luck.
Nelson? Well, he was the one who made me want to become an actor. I remember I was 8 years old. My aunt took me to an off-Broadway production of Animal Farm. His Napoleon just burned up the stage. The next day, I had my parents waitlist me for Juilliard. So, when my agent told me they were making Babe the musical, I said, get me on this. I am in.
I was nervous to be working on Babe with Nelson. I mean, we had that love scene, and you know, you hear so many horror stories about pigs in the industry. And Nelson was a pig, but he was no pig, you know what I mean?
There was only one rough spot during Principal. Someone at Craft Services wasn't on the ball, served BLTs. Nelson was really upset. He threw a bowl of hummus at a grip and drove off in his Beamer. But who can blame him? I mean, I think he had friends in those sandwiches.
Well, no one knew if production would be shut down or what. Can a few slices of bacon be considered force majeure? My agent had a call into legal, but the next morning at 8 a.m., there he was, consummate professional, in his robe, ready for makeup.
Something people don't know about Nelson, his sense of humor. My first day, I was so nervous about working with such a big star, I step out of my honey wagon. There he is, rolling out a red carpet for me. Well, the crew just cracks up. I mean, it was a real icebreaker. Turns out Nelson just loved rolling out carpet. It was a very pleasant feeling on the snout. But it was still a nice gesture.
Nelson off screen. Well, he was always protective of his private life. But I think it's safe to say that, yes, on occasion, slops were involved. But hey, this is Hollywood.
Yes, I have heard the rumors about Nelson. Everyone thought that the reason he never married was... Okay, let me tell you. Nelson liked sows. He was a sow hog.
Oh, yes, I saw the accident. The premiere party was Hawaiian-themed, don't ask me why. Nelson was talking to David Cronenberg about remounting Charlotte's Web as a psychosexual thriller. I guess he was standing too close to a luau torch. The next thing I know, Cronenberg and the production manager are whacking Nelson with beach towels.
The saddest irony, Nelson was always very afraid of fire. Just a few years earlier, he turned down the lead in Ronnie Howard's Backdraft. Of course, that went to Kurt Russell, didn't it?
None of us can believe he's gone, and I feel so guilty. It's kind of hard to talk about, but when the accident happened, I thought I smelled something really appetizing, and I was headed out on my way to get some grub. Oh, if I don't.
That was Nelson. Friend, actor, star. But above all else, he was always a pig.
My life is over, ladies and gentlemen. I'm dead. Shot. And I didn't even have an opportunity to be bitter and disappointed.
Hello, Sigmund.
Mommy. Fancy meeting you here.
You didn't know I was dead?
Oh, I knew you were dead. I just assumed you'd be in hell.
Normally I am. But when someone first dies, they get to go by a parade of everyone they knew in life. So, I may not have made it to parents' night or graduation or any of your birthdays except the first one. And that was just because they made me. But I'm here for your death. Well, that's it for me. Stop slouching. Bye.
Bye, Mommy. Oh, my God, is that Daddy? Daddy, I forgive you for never having been there in my life when I needed you.
No, I'm not your pop. I'm a look-alike double.
Oh.
Your daddy sends his regrets. He's napping.
Oh, say no more. That can happen. And oh, dear. The only woman I've ever loved.
Do I know you?
Angela? Remember that wonderful night we had together at that hotel? That dark evening when you crept into my room and made passionate love to me.
That was you? I was supposed to be going into my boyfriend Glenn's room. I don't know how I got mixed up.
Well, the room door numbers were movable.
You pink!
Oh, digital contact. Well, where's everybody else?
Who everybody else?
Well, this is my life. Well, there must have been more people. Where's the late Mrs. Interesting? Or was that just a vivid, unpleasant dream after eating too many cheese wheels? Or where are my childhood friends? Well, this is inexcusable. Unless the playoffs are on, and then there's some excuse. Also, I don't see what this has to do with a guide to the continental United States. This is not right. I am moving forward through these golden gates towards a throne of some kind. And that figure on the throne, it isn't. Oh, it is. Eddie, the giant talking cop. Eddie, are you God?
Excuse me, had a little something in my throat. What was that? Am I God?
Yes.
Goodness, no, I'm a fish. A fish can't be God. No, God is God. Which is really weird for me because I'm an atheist, so I'm not really liking the idea, but there you go. I'm a realist, so better to look a little foolish while enjoying a life after death than to be obliterated for all eternity. Speaking of obliterated, I creamed Jesus last night on Nintendo Hockey.
Eddie, you can talk plainly now.
Oh, yeah, this is heaven. All things that were wrong are made right again. So I can talk clearly, finally, and good news, that old war wound is history. I am able to spawn. Oh, yeah. Watch out, ladies. If you lay those eggs in the gravel, I'll be right along to fertilize them.
Eddie.
Oh, Mr. I, this is God. Or goddess, I should say. Not that God is really male or female, but, okay, God has the appearance of a girl, which is weird for me because, look at her. God is a hockey.
Eddie.
Yes, God.
Shut up.
You got it.
God. You are God.
Put it this way, I am God for Mr. Interesting. Your life is your own construction, as your death is your own construction, as your afterlife is either heaven or hell, depending on how you make it.
It's a convenient sort of theology.
Aren't they all?
So you're saying this afterlife is constructed out of my mind.
You got it.
Well, that explains all those hanging cheeses. But what's with the crappy pine veneer paneling?
What's wrong with that? Price this stuff. It isn't cheap.
So I have to spend all eternity here.
Oh, no, no. That's the good news. Just the next few minutes. Then you start to rot.
What? But this is my afterlife.
Yes, but it still takes place in your brain. You're dead. But the electrical charges left in your brain create this world for you. Sort of a last gap of neural activity before you go.
So this is just dissipating life force talking to me.
Well, thanks a lot for the compliment. Yeah, I guess you could say so, yeah.
And any minute now, I'll slip into eternal oblivion. So you're telling me that once again, I am...
Canceled, yes.
Oh, well, in that case, I'd better sign off. You'll excuse me.
Yep, say your goodbyes, and turn out the lights on your way out.
Well, there you have it. Mr. Interesting Guide to the Continental United States, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you've learned just a little about Canada's giant neighbor to the south, then you must have been pretty ignorant to begin with. I mean, let's face it, folks. The only good thing I can say about this title is that at least Weird Al isn't likely to steal it. Well, take care of yourself. I'm dead, but you, drive safely. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Mr. Interesting Guide to the Continental United States, starring Catherine Greenwood, Kathy Lasky, Colin Mockery, and Dan Redican, with music by George Kohler and sound effects by Anton Zabo. Mr. Interesting Guide to the Continental United States was written by Jenny Hacker and Dan Redican and was produced by CBC Radio Arts and Entertainment.